All right. Welcome back. My name is Steve Elzinga, and you're in the How to Have a Successful Men's Ministry. Whether you're leading it or whether you're starting it, it doesn't matter. Hopefully you're getting something out of it. And in this lecture, I want to talk about Bible study. I mean, this is probably the heart of a men's group. You know, obviously, somehow I have to get to the Bible. We have to do prayer, you know, these basic disciplines of the Christian walk. And so this is probably one of the most important lectures in this series. And I think this is in the area where a lot of men's groups sort of flounder. I think this is an area that a lot of leaders feel inadequate. This is where the men's group looks to the pastor. Pastor, will you lead our Bible study part? We can do everything else, but we don't know how to do this Bible thing. So a lot of guys are pretty intimidated. And I want to start there. Your own fear of study. All right, let's just be honest and let's just go through a few fears that we have. I think a lot of men, a lot of leaders, perhaps you, you feel like you lack knowledge or expertise. You didn't go to Bible school. You didn't go to seminary. Now maybe you're here at CLI and you're getting some confidence, but even pastors sometimes feel like they just never know enough. Okay, like they have to be, you know, an expert in the Bible, and who is that expert? Or you just have a fear of being judged or criticized. I'm leading, and maybe I'm leading it poorly, or maybe I give a bad interpretation. I don't ask the right questions. I let dominate the group. About it, I don't know how to discipline the group. I don't know how to rein people in, and if the Bible study doesn't go that well for whatever reason, I feel thinking I'm making it happen, and somehow responsible for all of this. A fear of public speaking, that they have great thoughts in their heads. And, you know, as they prepare, they have all these things and, you know, they've studied it and there's these points and they write things down. But when they start speaking, it's like their mind goes blank. You know, maybe that's you. Whenever you speak in public, you have great things to say. And, you know, in the solitude of your own room or your own house, you put these great thoughts together. But then when you speak publicly, it's just gone. It becomes mumbo jumbo. And so then, again, you feel like you're going to be judged, that, you know, this guy doesn't really know what he's doing. Fear of rejection or resistance. You're trying to make some point and people they're not following it. They're resisting it. Or who is the leader? Maybe someone else is actually doing better than you are. Insecurity, self-doubt. I can't do this. I can't lead. Who am I to think that I can do a men's group? Fear of failure. Fear of the whole group. Fear of failure with the Bible study itself. Fear of failure with the men's thing and what we're doing, and, you know, then sometimes attendance dips, guys are busy with other things, they don't show up, and so every men's group meeting, you're like nervous, and, you know, you're looking for the cars that are coming or not coming into the parking lot, and your worth is dependent on how many men show up each time. You don't know what to study. I mean, this is a big one. You know, you had this study that lasted for 6 weeks and went pretty good, but now and what are you going to do next week? And you don't know. Because where do you look? You go to the Christian bookstore, you go online, how do you find a really good Bible study, and how do you know what's a good one? So, you know, there's so many. You go online, you see so many. What do you order? You order this thing and you get it's not very good. A lot of Bible studies aren't. So there's always a lot of tension around what to study. Why, as a leader, you have these fears and insecurities about leading a Bible study, but the men coming to the Bible study have their own problems and their own fears. I have the question, maybe it's a little strong, why do men hate going to a Bible study? Or maybe men typically not look forward to go to a Bible study. I'm not talking about all men, but men typically don't like sitting around sharing their hearts and so on. They too have this fear that they lack knowledge, right? So if you're having a Bible study, you ask questions, you want the men to participate. So don't stand up in front of all these men and give some opinion about this Bible passage, what it might be saying or what it means. And what if I'm wrong? What if everyone is exposing the Bible? Fear and or criticized. You know, maybe people don't say it in my face after I shared something, but I fear they're thinking it. You know, they're thinking, this guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Or he's a blowbag, or he's, you know, he talks too much, or he, you know. Number three, fear of public speaking. So the men themselves have that same fear. The leader has a fear of public speaking. I can't communicate. I can't put my thoughts into words. The minute I start speaking, I lose my train of thought. I get lost. Well, you know, some of the men at least struggle with that same issue. They get so nervous. They don't like to stand out. They're not used to, you know, standing in front of a group of guys, even if you're sitting, and instead of expressing. No, you know, when they're just hiking and it's just two or three guys, it's more natural. But it can feel real formal when you're actually in a Bible study. John, what do you think? And John is now on the spot, and this the spotlight in some ways is on him, and he a lot of times the questions in Bible studies are so big and broad, where do you even begin to? You know, when were you? I got to analyze my whole life and try to figure this out while people are waiting for me to come up with an answer. Number four, fear of rejection or isolation. Okay, I'm going to say something and people are going to think this of me. They're going to think I politically lean this way or that way, and so I'm not going to talk to you. Because what happens is we all judge each other relatively quickly. So you say something out in public, and people will interpret it as you way or you're that kind of person. And now that's how they think of you. And if they don't like it, then they leave you alone. You get isolated. Number five, insecurity and self-doubt. So in the end, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can succeed. Okay, so this whole Bible study endeavor is this place filled with all kinds of landmines that I might step on, and it's going to hurt my relationship with everyone around me. So, you know, maybe I'm going to say very little. I'm not much because I don't know what's going to happen with it. Vulnerability. Expression. So I guess that's, you know, what I'm talking about. You start sharing examples from your life, you're exposing yourself. You're exposing your weaknesses. Or people can see through what you're saying and see what's going on in your life. And do you what's going on in your life? What are those people going to do with those things that you're sharing? You know, are they going to your spouse about it? Are they going to go somewhere else? And you know that Bob at the Bible study, remember he said that? I wonder if he struggles with, alcoholism or whatever. I wonder if his marriage is okay. And so, okay, so again, I'm men then tend to keep things to themselves. I'm going to try to be safe. But even there, I don't know what is safe. Just opening up your mouth is going to be a problem. Now, some guys, they're very good at opening up their mouths, and they tend to dominate the Bible study. They have a lot to say. But what they say is sort of a cover, a protection from their inner self, too. About people. You know, we're studying this Bible thing, and I think that people are, and then they describe people. But they don't describe themselves. Number seven, a lack of relevance or practical application. So, you know, men, you're studying the Bible, you're learning something about the history of Israel and something about the book of Ezekiel. But in the end, men want to know, well, how does this relate to me? How does this make any difference in my life when I go to work tomorrow? How's this going to my family? I'm struggling in my family, and how does this thing in Ezekiel relate to my family? I don't know. And a lot of times, Bible studies never get to that, because that's the hard part. It's relevant. Study a passage, figure out the historical background and what's going on, and you can look at some Hebrew words and see the context and, you know, what's, you know, the whole story. Jesus is telling this parable, what did it mean? But the hard part is now going, and so what? The hard part is how do I relate this to my life? And help others get over their fears by acknowledging your lack of knowledge. Okay, guys, I don't know everything. I'm just a guy just like you. I'm trying to learn the Bible. I'm trying to walk with God. And, I may be leading, but I may not. Some of you may know more than I do. Just admit it. Hey, guys, I know I'm judged and criticized by you if I say something. You feel that probably too. We all feel this. We all have this fear of public speaking. I know sometimes I put my words I really can speak, but when I'm done, I feel like I didn't say what I was going to say. When I go home, I said, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I should have said this. We all have this problem. Fear of rejection and isolation, insecurity, self-doubt, emotional expression. We all have these things. We admit it. We put it, expose it on the table. You just say, look, I feel this way. You're going to feel this way. Lack of relevance or practical application. You know, we're going to gravitate. When we do a Bible study, we're going to gravitate towards talking about the passage, but not relating it to our lives because we don't want to expose ourselves. Okay. Let's all admit that. And then, let's figure out some basic ground rules of engagement. I think these ground rules will help mitigate this insecurity we have in sharing and doing a Bible study together. So, number one, just some rules of the road, the rules of no fixing unless asked for. So, when a man shares something, And he dares to be a little vulnerable about what's going on in his marriage, that doesn't mean he's saying to all the other men, please give me advice about how to do this. If he doesn't ask, maybe he's just sharing. Maybe, you know, this is his first step. You have to wait for that guy who shared those things to ask for it. And guys, I don't know what to do. What do you think? What do you think I should do? Okay, now you can. A lot of times, because, you know, we men like to fix things, a lot of times we see someone shares anything at all personal in their life, and we're like piranhas, and we pounce. This is what I did when I had this problem. And now all the guys are seeing that, and they go, I don't want to share anything, because if I do, I'm going to get pounced on. So no fixing. Unless it's asked for. Number two, no sharing outside the group. This is just a rule. What is said in this group stays in this group. You don't go home and share it with your wife. You don't go home and share it with your brother. You don't share it with the pastor. It stays right here. Number three, no wrong answers. You know, you don't want to get into all these big arguments in a Bible study. People have opinions, okay? And when a bunch of guys share their opinions, eventually the whole group gravitates towards the best opinion. You don't have to say, you know, Bob's opinion was just bad. The group naturally just gravitates towards what is good. So let people put their opinions out there, and eventually they'll gravitate towards the right answer without exposing someone. Oh, that's a bad answer. That's wrong. That's just wrong. Again, remember, what men fear is being judged. So if you go around saying this is wrong, then you're playing right into their fears, and now they're not going to say anything. Number four, no arguing. You don't want two people arguing about something. And a lot of times that's what's happened. It's two guys that get onto a thing, and then remember, guys are competitive. An argument, you're on that side, it's game on. And even if one really stops talking, and then he goes all the things he should have said, and he goes, so you don't, we're not going to sit here and argue about things. Yes to encouraging. Hey, good point. Hey, I never thought of that. Well, that's a possibility. Let's say it's not the right answer, but it's a possibility, maybe. Well, that's very interesting. Thanks for sharing. See, you want to encourage people to share, even if they get it wrong. It's the same thing with parenting. If you're always encouraging your kids with everything that they ever do wrong, they're going to stop exposing anything that they do to you. Because they're going what they're doing, or half the time I'm wrong, so I'm just not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything in front of my father. Well, that's what happens in a men's group. But if there's encouragement, even when people get it wrong, hey, good try. Even though, hey, good try. I appreciate that you put your energy and your effort into this thing. Didn't work out, but I applaud the effort. Be a place that encourages. Hey, thanks for sharing. Thanks for sharing. Guys, this was a great Bible study we had today. A lot of sharing. Wonderful. Number six, yes to participation. Get people to talk. And then that's a tricky one, because if you just, have a question out there to everybody, a lot of times the three guys that like to talk in public will do it, and then the guys who don't won't. So sometimes you have to bring it out. You have to ask a basic question and maybe go around the just give a shot at it. And you know what? Here's another rule. You can just say pass. If you don't have anything, you can say, I can't, I pass. Well, what? Okay, so this is sort of the meat and potatoes of this. There's sort of basically two options to go when you're studying the Bible. There's topical and a passage or a book of the Bible. Okay? If you're looking at, if you're looking at the topical, number one, you can find a pre-made Bible study on a topic, parenting for men or whatever it might be. It's hard to find, but you could find it. Or two, which I prefer, is the way you could do your own is, first of all, you ask men what topics they want to study and pick one. Hey, guys, what do you think would be a great topic? I think, work. A man and his work. Okay. So, that's what we're going to do. Or parenting, or sex, or relationship to parents, social issues, church ed, doctrine. I mean, the topics are endless. Then ask men to find where in the Bible that topic is discussed. Okay, the whole topic, go home, and next time come back with any passages that you can think of that relate to this topic. And bing, bada, boom, study is written. They come back with all these, let's see, you have 10 men. They come back with 10 different things, and you pick, two today, two the time to the next time. And boom, your Bible study is done. It's simple. Ask men how the chosen passage on the topic helps them with this topic. It's very simple. Bible study doesn't have to be that hard. Studying a passage, you were studying the parables of Jesus, or we're studying the book of Acts or something. Well, you can find a pre-made Bible study on the passage of the book. You know, I have several. I have a book on Acts. I have a book on Ephesians. And, you know, there's things to read every single day. And you can just follow that. You can just follow that. It's real, real easy, real simple. You can find these here at CLI. It's really not that hard. Ask men what passage or book they want to study and pick one. Hey, what do you guys think? You know, we could do this, we could do this. What do you want to do? Let's say you're studying the parables of Jesus. And, you know, the first one is Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. So what you do is you read the passage and have the men underline whatever stands out to them. So, you know, everyone read the passage and just that stands out to you. Now, if you got a guy who doesn't know the Bible, he's new to the faith, he can succeed at this. It doesn't require knowledge. You just go and you underline whatever stands out to you. It doesn't matter. You know, father had two sons, or, you know, the father embraced the son. That stood out to me, or whatever it might be. Easy, 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 easy. Uh-oh. Sorry about that. Call from my brother. I'll call him back. So you underline whatever stands out to you, and you go, and then you have them share what stood out. Why did you underline that? I don't know. It just seems that, you know, father embraces his son. His son had, you know, hurt his father, and now he's, you know, and I don't know. It just stood out to me. Yeah, I guess, you know, fathers hugging their sons is a cool thing. They don't get too deep about it, okay? You're not trying to get real deep here. You're just trying to find out why they underlined it. You know, there's a reason why they underlined it, and so they share. And it doesn't matter what the reason is, okay? You're just getting these guys opening their mouths and sharing and talking. They're sort of at this surface level. And that's good. That's where men need to, they need to start there. They need to talk about something that's easy. And then they're ready to go a little deeper. So you go around the room a second time and ask each man what they think God might be saying to them through whatever got their attention. So what it stood out to you is the father embracing the son. What do you think God might be saying to you? So, you know, we're at the surface, but all of a sudden now we're going a little bit deeper. But because the man already said something related to this, he didn't do that. Okay, so, you know, I guess my father never really hugged me much. Or I don't really hug my kids that much. And, you know, so it's sort of emotional, and I don't know why. So all of a sudden, now we're into something. See, these Bible studies aren't that hard. You know, we think we have to have this Bible study with all these profound questions. Not really. And let me tell you more about illustrating here, beneath the surface. I thought about this recently, and I think it's the number one reason why Bible studies are a lot of times just don't go well, especially the pre-made ones. The pre-made ones, the questions are too broad and too general. Men tend to start at the surface and are not ready to jump into the deep water. Bible studies tend to ask questions that are both too general and too deep. You must ease men into the water. So I'll give you an example, a topical Bible study on Elijah. Okay, Elijah, Mount Carmel, I mentioned this in another lecture. The people aren't following God, and then the king wants to kill him, so he runs away. He goes to God and he complains to God, you know, I've done everything, I've followed your ways, I've done everything you said, and nothing's working. I'm the only prophet following you in Israel, and he's feeling really sorry for himself, and he's, frankly, he's depressed, okay? So then, read all this, you study this, you look at all the ups and downs and what he did and how he did it. And get to the practical application question, and the question is, when were you depressed like Elijah? Okay, so men are sitting around the thing, you've talked about Elijah, and then, you know, the leader goes, "Hey, Bob, when were you depressed like Elijah?" And Bob is like, "I have no idea." Number one, I have to now evaluate my whole life. You know, when I was five, when I went to school, when I went to work, when I, you know, and everyone need to have an answer. It's impossible. It's way too broad, way too personal. And that's the problem. You're studying the Bible and you're into it, you're looking at it, but then all of a sudden, how does this apply to you? Application is incredibly hard. So you got to ease people into the application. So let me give you an example. Okay, try this. You might start with a question like this. Give me three jobs that you had in your life. Now, every guy can do that. Well, I did this. I used to work on a farm. I worked in this factory. Okay, well, which did you enjoy the most and why? Well, you know, and I enjoyed because I had the machinery thing and they gave me a lot of responsibility or whatever it might be. Every guy can succeed with this question. Which did you dislike the most and why? And can you think of a specific incident that might illustrate why you did not like this job? Oh, yeah, this job, you know, and I made a mistake and then I got demoted or I got, you know. And guys can think of something. So you start with the whole world, the whole life of a guy, but you narrow it down. Let's think about work. Let's think about a specific job. Let's think about a specific incident. So you're helping down the topic in some ways. When were you depressed in your life? It's so broad, I have no idea where to begin. But now you're helping me narrow my thinking down to specific things in my life. Or were you ever fired, let go, frustrated in any of these jobs? I was frustrated with this. Okay. How did you feel about it at the time? I was really angry. I felt betrayed. All of a sudden now they're sharing something that's under the surface, but you help them start at the surface and you slowly brought them down to the deeper water. How does the story of Elijah relate to that time in your life? Oh, see, you already brought me there. You helped me figure it out. Or let's say the topic was school, or when you first, you know, can you tell me what the first day of school was like for you? Well, was there anything negative or frightening about that first day of school? Now guys go, oh yeah, well this is how I, okay. See, now you're down to a specific day in their life that they can think about, that they can say something about, and now they can evaluate it in the light of the passage that we study. This is like absolutely critical to have a good Bible study. It you don't need this pre-made thing that holds your hand. A lot of times those things miss the mark anyway. You just need to get guys talking about certain times and areas of their life and then finally relating it. You know, try it. You can do it in your family. Hey, kids, tell me the best part of your day and the worst part of your day. And kids can do that. And then relate it to some Bible passage. Give it a try. See how it goes.